If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And Jason will now introduce our guest.
I have the pleasure this morning of introducing our guest speaker, the Reverend Dr. Axel Schober. He is the Associate Professor of Supervised Ministry at Cary Theological College, and I believe they have commencement today, which is pretty exciting.
Yes, sir.
I was joking that Axel has so many acronyms after his name from all the degrees he's earned that the only ones he's missing are FYI, LOL, and BRB. It's exciting, though. He's an academic scholar and a pastor, and somehow he's managed to wed those two in a beautiful marriage of those two things. And for me, he's been a mentor and a friend, even through my own ordination process. And I'm so grateful to him for who he is. And I'm excited this morning that he gets to share the word of God with you on being saturated in love. Would you please welcome the Reverend Dr. Axel Schober.
That's just, I don't know what BRB is. Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. I set up, with some help, a little table full of Cary information. We have all sorts of courses, credit and non-credit, different ages, different levels. I'm not going to go through them now. Please take a look at the table, and if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them. And if you hadn't planned on it but have time this afternoon down at First Baptist in Vancouver, there is our graduation ceremony, and you are heartily welcome to join us there. And I want to start with a word of appreciation for Olivet Baptist Church. Over the years, it's been remarkable for me to watch this church. Important leaders that you've generously shared with the wider body of Christ, specifically the denomination. I've been at Olivet since I've come to Cary for more memorial services of people I knew for what they've given than any other church in the Lower Mainland. And that tells you something. And there's some of those people are still alive, which is a good thing, too. Nearly talked myself into a corner there, didn't I? And also the outward looking in terms of refugee ministry and the ways in which you connect to the city of New Westminster. It's a historic church, a giving church, a generous church, and you make a difference. So thank you for having me here this morning, and I'm really glad you've given Laura a chance to have a sabbatical, a chance for her to renew after all that she gives as well. So let me start with a controversial question. At least 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, it would have been controversial. Can Baptists dance? There was a time when the answer was a clear and strong no way. And I suggest that was an overreaction to the fact that dancing at time can be too sensuous. And that's true. We have to take that seriously at times. But note, I called it an overreaction. Because I think we have to learn afresh what past centuries knew about learning to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, which implies our bodies. And it's one of the gifts God has given to us is of movement. Movement and rhythm and time. It's a gift I've shared with my wife, who could not be here this morning. She's on grandmotherly duty and quite happy to be that way. So you lost, I lost, but the granddaughter wins. So When we were younger, that part of the connection for Karen and I, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary early this year. Part of the connection was to dance. We got good at jiving. We even won a couple of contests. And we came together. It's lasted. A year and a half ago, I was invited to a birthday party of a high school friend who was celebrating her 60th birthday. Not the same kind of connection coming out of it, but some interesting stuff. Karen's hip isn't so good anymore, and she can't always dance. And here I was going to a night of dance music, and just feeling the itch already before I got there. And so I asked for permission if I could dance without her. She granted it. My friend was divorced, so I was bold enough to go up to her and say, if you lack a dance partner anytime through the night, I'm available. And it was like we were back in high school, connecting again. And my job, Jason referred to the ordination process. Sometimes I have to speak a truth that isn't always excitedly received. It's for the good of the kingdom and for the candidate too. And there was one person there, one young lady there, whom I'd said a strong word to at one point, years before. And I asked her to dance. And that offer, and her acceptance of that offer, was a sign of reconciliation. It doesn't always work the way we expect it to, but we take it where it comes. It's amazing where we can find love, find we're saturated in love, if our hearts and minds and eyes are open. So keep that in mind. But first I want to go to another point. Do you find the world unnerving? You watch the news, see the events on the grand scale and go, how about in the world around you? I do. I see workplaces increasingly stressed. Surveys tell us that it's about 70% was the last one I heard of workers would leave their jobs if they could find another. 70%. Pressured. Too much demanded. Poorly treated. Different reasons. That's a high percentage. What about real estate? I'm speaking in the Lower Mainland. But it's been happening in Toronto. It's starting to happen in Montreal. How could young people make their way in this world with real estate costs being what they are? Do you worry about that? I do. And families, many, many families take all the stresses that are pouring in on us and react in such a way to make things worse. And that piles another set of stressors on top. Just heard yesterday of someone I know who's gone through a 4-year-long divorce proceeding, and it's cost her so far $300,000 in lawyers' fees. Not settled yet. It's an unnerving world. And Jesus says to us, I won't leave you as orphans. We are not abandoned, even in a world like this. And the first thing that this passage points us to, that he gives us, are his commands. If you're a typical 21st century North American, you don't think that's good news. But if you're a biblical Christian, you do. For those commands help us to thrive. And there are seasons when they are welcome and there are seasons when they're not popular. But whether popular or not, they do help us to thrive. Sometimes I want to do a sermon series. Have you heard enough yet? All the choices we insist on making that make life more painful. These commands are not intended to be burdens, but to lead us into goodness for ourselves and for those around us. Let me give you an example. One time before I began working full-time at Cary, I was teaching in Manitoba for them on a weekend basis. So I had to fly in, rent a car, and then head out to Shoal Lake, if you know where that is. Wonderful little place to be. Set up the car rental in advance and got there and didn't know what car I was going to get. And for a fairly inexpensive price, I got a Grand Prix, which is a sports car. And the roads are very straight in Manitoba. And that car was built so that, I tell you, going 140 felt like it was going 80 here in BC. And I was visiting with my daughter who was studying in Providence College at that time. She came along for the weekend. And again and again and again, she was going, "Dad, slow down." And I wasn't even conscious of going fast because the car was built for that. So were the roads. At least in the summertime, they're built for that. What happens if I take that same car, drive it at the same speed off the highway? It's not built for that, is it? And it won't get very far, and I'll have a very expensive repair bill. Because it was made for one thing, and we used it for another. The same is true of our lives. The Creator's given us his manufacturer specifications. This is how to thrive. We often don't listen. But we flourish, we live, says Jesus in this passage, when we do. And we are saturated in love. It's not restrictive. The Father and Son have this intimate relationship. The Spirit reveals it to us. Trinity Sunday, we remember Father, Son, and Spirit. And they share that love with you and with me. One of the gifts that Jesus brings is to show that to us over and over again. To walk in these ways are the ways of love. Remarkable story. Some of you will know the names Betsy and Corey Ten Boom. If you don't, they were Dutch Christians during World War II who chose to shelter Jewish people in their homes instead of handing them over to the Nazi troops who shipped them off to concentration camps. Eventually, the Ten Boom family was discovered and shipped off to concentration camps themselves. Betsy died there. Corey, as it turned out, they discovered afterwards, was released by a clerical mistake. She wasn't supposed to get out. But she did, and told the story to many, many people, including, at times, former guards from the concentration camp they were in, of God's love. And they had a saying, that fits. No pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. So we're not abandoned. The first gift to show He's with us is those commands, but there's more. My second point then, more importantly still, is the Holy Spirit coming into our life. This passage gives us a sense of how He's an advocate, a helper, a companion. And I want to be honest, it's not always easy to walk in these ways with the Spirit. We think of Him as an advocate. He speaks on our behalf. He advocates us for us in times of trouble. But be honest, don't you want to tell Him you should be advocating more at certain times? There's things that you should be getting more right than you are. And to learn to walk in trust like that isn't easy. He's a helper. Well, we can go wrong two ways with help. Refuse it. I can do it myself, says the two-year-old. But a lot of us go back to that age when someone offers help. And the other is sometimes to want help all the time. And to become dependent instead of to grow and mature. And the Spirit will walk us between those two poles. And we don't always like the fact that He says yes when we want Him to say no, or no when we want Him to say yes. But He helps us. And He's a companion. And in our proud, independent, individualistic North American outlook, we don't always do well with companions, even though we say we want them. I have a marriage where my wife tells me the truth. But it's a good gift. It's the truth that causes us to flourish. It's the gift the Holy Spirit brings to us. He's right here in our lives. And I think the biggest challenge for us is to move from knowing that here to living it. We know it. But so much of our life, we don't actually draw on His presence and learn to lean into the challenges and find the good outcomes at the end of doing so. By the way, if you're here this morning and have never given your life and faith to Jesus, you can find the Spirit, the beginning of that walk with the Spirit, by receiving Him. And if you haven't taken that step, feel free to talk to me or some of the others around you who'll be happy to tell you how that life begins. My current prayer, I've been leaning into it for months, has been, Lord, help me to hear Your voice more and more. Help me know what it is that next thing that I should be doing. I've known it. I've practiced it in a sense, but I find as I pray it more and more, I'm learning more and more about it. And I invite you to do the same. I won't say it's easy. If I decided I wanted to learn Mandarin, I would know it wasn't easy. I would know I'd make many mistakes. I would know I would embarrass myself as I tried to say it and didn't say it quite right. And because it's hard, I could give up before I really get started. I'm afraid sometimes as Christians we give up on learning to walk with the Spirit. Because it's hard. And we'll make mistakes. And we'll sometimes embarrass ourselves. But folks, we can learn. And the invitation's right there. we can begin to be fairly proficient at jiving and make that sweet kind of connection with the Spirit who lives within us. And so we're not abandoned. He's always with us, no matter the circumstances. Now, a final point. Because of our English language, modern English language, we have this puzzling word for scriptural understanding called you. And we are so used to hearing you as referring to me rather than us. The yous in this passage are all plural. They're all about us. My guess, and you don't have to put up a show of hands, is most of us were hearing everything I said as an individual, because we're so used to that. Jesus assumed it was together. The three in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, in this close connection, the saturation of love one with another. It's an imperfect picture, but do you have a friendship, or perhaps a marriage, where even in silence you know what the other is thinking? It gives you some idea of what it's like to walk with the Spirit, with the Father, with our Lord Jesus. And we can do this not just as individuals, but together. Verse 20 says, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wow. Now, one of the things I've gotten to do since 2000 is teach Baptist identity. Jason had to go through that course with me. And one of the things I've discovered as I've been doing this learning is that the early Baptists knew that the Spirit would lead the church together. And so there's some scholars who suggest they actually made a third sacrament. There's baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the third one that some of the early Baptists almost treated as a sacrament was the church business meeting. Now you tell me if you don't react to that. Now let's face it, most of us do not go to a church business meeting with that kind of attitude. But the point is they expected the Spirit to show up to guide the corporate conversation and prayers of the congregation gathered together. And they were so expectant of that and found it to be true on such a consistent basis that they were eager for their business meetings. Boy, if we could recapture a sense of that. Often we have little patience, and I do wonder if it isn't a sign of the general relational immaturity in our culture. But I am convinced that as individuals, and we're often taught if we're discipled to do it individually, which is a little unfortunate, we can grow maybe like this. And we should. Apply ourselves, go for it, grow. We benefit from it. Others around benefit from it. But as I've read the New Testament over and over again, here's something I suggest to you. That's the limit if we do it by ourselves. But if we do it together, you get the point. We need each other, and we have to be willing to do the hard work to get there. When we do, wow, a little bit like learning to love a high-strung teen. We work at it and work at it. We finally figure it out, only to discover we now know how to raise a 13-year-old, but she's now 15. And we got to do it all over again. And we persist, and we persist. And lo and behold, out of all those years where we wondered how this was going to turn out. Usually, we get a fine young adult coming out of this because we persisted. And we've grown, at least in endurance, probably other ways too. What if we made a commitment so that our corporate life we'd lean into with that same kind of persistence to discover the mind of Christ together, to discover the Spirit? And I'm not saying you know none of this, because I praised you earlier as a church, but my suspicion is there's a lot more to grow into as we do. Hard to learn, perhaps, but worth it. As the world gets more unnerving, let's remember, Jesus has promised, we are not abandoned. The commandments guide us, the Holy Spirit companions us, and we have each other. I'm a soccer fan. Not a fan of Liverpool Football Club in England, but they have a tremendous motto. You'll never walk alone. And they have a rousing song that even as a non-Liverpool fan can send chills up and down my spine when you hear thousands of people singing it together. That's what the Lord is saying to us, folks. You'll never walk alone. It's worth the effort of learning to choreograph life together. In an unraveling world, we may well need to rely on each other more and more. So, folks, let's get good at it. I close my Bible a little early. Let me read you the last half verse that Bernadette read earlier. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them, says Jesus. And I will reveal myself to them. We are saturated in love. Let us pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for all the ways in which we've tasted of what we've reflected on this morning. This isn't brand new for most of us. And yet, I suspect there's many people here like me who hear it again and say, oh, we want more. We've got such a ways to go. Teach us individually to walk more deeply in step with your Spirit. We want to. We want to be reminded again and again that we're not abandoned. And Lord, we want to learn more and more of doing it together. For we sense it's true. There is a strength that we can learn only together. Teach us that. And thank you. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and abide with you this day and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.